Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today I'm giving a message on the subject of prayer. Teach us to pray, the disciples asked Jesus. And we're going to talk about 12 different kinds of prayer. Prayer is communion with God. And there's many different types of prayer, and as led by the Spirit, different types of prayer are appropriate for different types of situations and moments in our journey. So we're going to dig into the scriptures today and talk about 12 types of effective prayer. 12 types of effective prayer. And I'll be right back with you. We have a slight echo in the studio, so get your Bibles and join me back here in about a minute as we talk about teach us to pray. Back with you and get your Bibles ready. We'll be right back. Get your Bibles ready and we'll be looking into James 5. I think will be the first scripture. So get your Bibles open to James 5 and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. Prayer is communing with God, talking with God, and it used to be such an important part of the Christian life. When I became a Christian, when I came to the Lord, there was such an emphasis on it. I was a long-haired musician, and I came to the Lord when what was called the Jesus People Movement, all these young people coming to Christ. And every church had what was called the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and there was constant prayer for the sick and prayer going on. And it's a valuable, valuable part of any kind of healthy church. I've done work as a church consultant to go in and diagnose churches as to their health and churches that are having problems. And many churches focus on church growth, that is to build up their numbers, but they neglect what is church health. Church health, if a church is healthy, it's going to grow. A healthy child grows. A healthy plant grows. And so there are several areas that make a church healthy that you can kind of look at and diagnose. There's about four or so that I tend to look at. The first is love. The emphasis is on love, the love of God. There's love and fellowship among the people. They don't just stare at the back of someone's neck and hear a sermon from a guy on a platform. There's real love. There's real fellowship. There's real friendship. They go to coffee after, they hang out. But secondly, in addition to love, Christ said, "By this shall men know you're my disciples, by your love." There's also faith. Your faith is built up. You leave feeling hope and expectation for the future rather than, a preacher beating the sheep and causing you to feel despair. There's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, "I've come to give you hope for the future, a good plan for you, not to harm you, but to bless you and give you hope for your future." Purpose is the third aspect of a healthy church body, and that is the sense of that Great Commission purpose. And instead of the church using you to build their ministry and how can you plug in and work in our church, it's more about how can we help you find your calling and purpose and support you as a body. They don't use people to build the church. They use the church to build up people in their purpose. But the fourth component of a healthy church, a healthy fellowship, is prayer. And as I say, it used to be a given. On Wednesday nights, the whole church would get together and pray. Now I've seen churches pray, but it's only when they want something, like a church in a building project gets everyone together to pray to try to get them all give money and build an addition on their building. But it's not really in the DNA. It's not really in the birthed in them. The prayer isn't birthed in them. So today I'm going to talk about prayer. There's about a dozen different types of prayer I found in the Bible I'd like to talk with you about. And the first is the prayer of faith. And I'm reading from James chapter 5, the prayer of faith, James chapter 5. Turn with me in your Bibles. I'm turning to my large print edition, which I can see a little bit better. James 5, verse 14. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick. The King James says save. Some of your translations say heal. The prayer of faith shall save or heal. It's from the same so-so. The Lord is the Savior, the healer. It means to make whole in spirit and body. So the prayer of faith will save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That was James 5, verse 14 and 15, the prayer of faith. And it says that the effectual, fervent prayer in the next verse of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is very powerful. And, you know, if I'm sick, I want people that can pray the prayer of faith, that are full of faith, if I'm going through a hard time. The prayer of faith, we see this often in the life of Jesus Christ, and that's often a command. Do you remember some of the healing prayers of faith that Jesus would pray? How about when Lazarus was in the tomb? What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. That's a prayer of faith in John 11. That's not too many words, is it? Lazarus, come forth. It's only three words, but how do you like to be able to pray that kind of a prayer of faith? Lazarus, come forth, and he raises him from the dead. Or it says that Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and Jesus rebuked the fever. He spoke to the fever in faith. Now, it's interesting. The prayer of faith is strong, and it's a few words, but it's effectual. In contrast to the Pharisees, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, they thought they'd be heard because of their many words. They would go on and on with these long-winded prayers. And the religious spirit can go on and on, but there's not much anointing. There's not much power in that. Now, I knew a gentleman who was a very hyper-fundamentalist man, a religious man, though not a spiritual man, truly walking with Christ, but a very legalistic religious man. It turned out years later this man was exposed for pedophilia and many different sins. But I remember when I would be with this pastor of this hyper-fundamentalist church, and he would I occasionally, back in the day, would speak there. And we went out for a meal at a restaurant, and he said, let's have the blessing. And he would kneel beside the table in the restaurant and put the cloth napkin down and kneel on it and very dramatically go into this blessing that would go on and on and on, very long-winded. In Elizabethan English, we thank thee, O God, that thou hast blessed us with the bounty of this food. And we ask thee that, and he would go on and on praying for all the missionaries in all the different countries. And sometimes the poor waitress would come with the balancing the large platter of food and trying to be respectful and wait for him to finish. And I remember being just mortified with embarrassment. He said, are you embarrassed for the Lord? I was thinking, no, I'm not embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because for God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but I'm embarrassed by this religious display. And even Christ said the Pharisees would go out in public and have these long-winded prayers and think they'd be heard by the public display of all these words. In contrast, Christ's prayers were few words in public, but they were prayers of faith that were very, very powerful. Be healed, blind eyes see, Lazarus come forth. But when you look in the private prayer life of Jesus, his prayers in private are very long. In John 17, you can take a glimpse and read that chapter where he communes in depth with the Father. And he prays for you, and he prays for me. He says, I pray for my disciples. I pray for all through time that will believe on me because of what they testify to, that we would all be one. And I send them into the world as you, Father, has sent me into the world. And wouldn't you rather be like Jesus and in your have that communion with God in private, those longer private prayers, that connection and communion with God, praying without ceasing, talking to him, and so that you can in public have that kind of anointing to pray those prayers of faith. You see the polar opposite? The Pharisees, many words in public, few in private. Jesus, many words of communion with God in private, but in public, praying those prayers of faith. The prayer of faith is a very powerful thing. The prayer of faith can come, I believe, out of spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about different gifts like a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom where you know something by the Holy Spirit that you couldn't naturally know. And it's very important to not just walk around half-cocked praying prayers of faith that may or may not be the divine timing and divine will, But the prayers of faith have to come out of being guided by the Holy Spirit. For example, I've gone into many hospitals in ministry work and chaplain type work in the hospitals, and many people are on death's door, and it may be their time to go home to their Heavenly Father and to be reunited with their relatives, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you just can't walk around saying, come forth to every single person in the hospital. But there have been times where I have felt strong faith, and I therefore would tell someone, you're going to be healed, you're not going to die from this, because I had a word of knowledge and a strong unction of the Spirit to pray. When my friend Jamie Nieto, who played Roberto Clemente in our film Baseball's Last Hero, and my friend Josie, who's been a chaplain at L.A. County Jail, and I went to see Jamie, I felt certain he was going to walk again. Jamie was injured after filming our Clemente film and was paralyzed. It was in all the papers, all over the news. He was an Olympian high jumper, but he had an accident off the beam and was paralyzed. And I told him, you're going to walk again, Jamie. You're going to be like Steve Austin, the Bionic Man. And he walked at his wedding. It was all over the news. But it's important to be led of the Spirit. And when I get a word of knowledge that a certain person or condition is going to be healed, then I can pray a very strong prayer of faith. Some good scriptural promises about praying in faith. One is Mark 11:24, one of my favorites I memorized years ago. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you will have them. Matthew 18:19-20 is another good one. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And one of my favorites I just love on faith is Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to the one that believes. There's many men and women of faith that had a special gift of faith. There are spiritual gifts described in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. And it says that some have an extra gift of faith, to pray in faith. We all have a measure of faith. It says in the Bible in Romans, God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. And Jesus said if you even have a mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains. And we all have a measure, which is much more than a mustard seed. But there's certain people that have a certain gift of faith. George Mueller ran orphanages, and he had this gift of faith where he would sometimes not have the food for all these orphans, and he would pray a prayer of faith, and lo and behold, the food would be almost divinely delivered to provide. When he didn't know how there'd be a way, God would make a way to feed all these orphans. We were making a movie, Sister Amy, about Amy Simple McPherson, and I remember one day going to the Four Square Temple Church in Long Beach, California, to shoot. And Amy Simple McPherson had founded the Four Square denomination, and it was the second church building that she built. And it was a period piece. I mean, they hadn't altered it since she built it in the 20s, unlike the original Echo Park Church, where they had modernized it and kind of, unfortunately, kind of ruined the historical aesthetic of it. But we made a deal with them that I would lead worship and help them with their Sunday morning worship if they'd let us shoot there. But we went to shoot, and I was making this movie on faith, and here I had like 30 cast and crew showing up, and I didn't even have the mini DV tapes for the cameras to film or money for the food for the cast. And I was like, God, what do I do? He said, you go in faith. And you trust me like George Mueller and pray a prayer of faith. And I just had to go in faith. It was scary that our craft services, our food, would somehow be provided, even though I was making this thing on a wing and a prayer. And we got down there, and Jamie Prater, a filmmaker and film editor and dear friend of mine, showed up on set and said, God put it on my heart to bring you mini DV tapes. And I said, Jamie, this, you don't know how desperately I needed these to film. I didn't know how I was going to film today. And then a woman in Orange County, who's since been a part of our ministry, and she did craft services for films. And she had a shoot cancel, and she was praying, Holy Spirit, guide me. And she was a spirit-filled woman led by the Spirit to the Four Square Church and said, I felt like I was to come in here with this food. And then I told her I was believing for food to feed my cast and crew, because people were asking me in the morning, where's the craft services table? I said, it'll be here. And wow, what a story. I have a George Mueller story myself with what I experienced on that set that day when God provided bountifully professional craft service food for us with our shoot. Prayer of faith. Isn't that powerful? Don't look just to the natural. 2 Corinthians 4:18, 16 through 18 talks about don't look just what it is, the things that are seen. Look at the unseen. And sometimes those of you in business have to pray a prayer of faith that those deals go through. And don't just look at the natural, but trust God to bring you through. Secondly, second type of prayer of R12 is the prayer without ceasing. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This is talking to God throughout the day. You could be driving. You could be in the shower. You know, people used to think I was a crazy homeless mentally ill guy because I would walk around the neighborhood talking out loud, praying. Even my wife will sometimes say, are you talking to me or are you praying? Because I'm constantly, you know, talking out loud or praying. And now everyone has a lot of people have blue chip phones, and they're talking out loud, and you know, it looks like they're talking to no one and talking on their phone, so people don't think I'm quite as crazy to walk around talking. But that's all it is. It's a conversation with God. Not necessarily some hyper-religious words. It's just talking to him about your feeling and what you're going through. I think it's more about that communion than anything else, that relationship. As a father myself, I want to have a relationship with my kids. I don't want them just to come to me about getting things. But I want to be in communication with them. That prayer without ceasing hits at that. Prayer without ceasing. You know, another prayer is prayer and suffering. Sometimes we're going through things and we don't understand why, and it feels like our prayers are hitting the ceiling. There's a subject in theology called theodicy, which is the study of why is there suffering in the world? Why, if there's a benevolent, loving God who has the omnipotent power to stop horrible things, why are children born with bone cancer? Why are these things happen? And the best book to deal with theodicy is the book of Job. Because in the book of Job, as you know, Job loses all these things. And his friends come and say, curse God. His wife says, curse God and die. He has three religious friends who blame him. That's what self-righteous religious people will do if you're going through something. Oh, you must have sinned. It's your fault. They blame the victim. But within Job's journey, he continued to be in touch, in commune with God, and pray in the suffering and through the trials. In James 5, the scripture I started with today, talks about consider the patience of Job and how he continued to commune and pray. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he has an encounter with God in which God, in Job 38 and 39 says, were you there when I made the stars? Were you there when I hung the planets? And he talks about how God is such a great mystery and so powerful, and God brings him to a place where he comes through on the other end, and he has double for his trouble. He has twice what was taken restored to him. In Job 22:8, it says, declare a thing, and it shall be established. Or as Isaiah says, the word will not return void. So praying through our suffering, and David did this in the Psalms. You'll see David praying through his suffering. David writes certain psalms in which he cries out to God all the feelings that he's having. He's not just talking to happy, praise the Lord feelings. He, even when he's suffering, he says, God, why art thou cast down, O my soul? God, why hast thou forsaken me? I water my couch with my tears. This is prayer in the suffering, to even verbalize the feelings and the struggles that we're going through. Theodicy is an important subject, and Job shows us that it's not the person's fault to not blame a person when they're going through suffering, but to be there for them and to encourage them. And when we can commune with God even in the middle of suffering. So we have one, prayer of faith, two, prayer without ceasing, three, prayer and suffering. The fourth type of prayer I want to talk about is intercessory prayer. This is talked about in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says that we ought to intercede in prayer for all men. Let me read the exact scripture. I'm opening to it. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, even for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Intercede in prayer, even for people in the world and world leadership, not just the ones in your own party. This isn't a partisan thing, but to pray for those in the other party. Maybe if you're a partisan loyalists. Some people are partisan loyalists, and they believe 100% in one political party, and they follow that no matter what. But you're still to pray for that other party, those other leaders, not pray on them and just damn them to hell and devilify them and judge them, but also to pray for them. Intercessory prayer, very, very important. Those are our first four types of prayer. I'm going to continue with the next eight types of prayer after a brief break for program identification. We'll be back to talk about the rest of the different types of prayer. Teach us to pray. Don't go anywhere and continue with our teaching. We'll be right back in a few seconds.
Since the phone lines are all busy, should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
Yes, don't be a fool. Don't Mickey with that dial. Keep it tuned to Rich Ross Alive. Get the massage.
Welcome back to Rich Rossi Live. Fifth type of prayer is communion with God. I've hinted at this before, that it's not just a shopping list. Some people treat God as a Santa Claus to just get what they want. I've heard men sometimes say they were dating a woman where the woman, all she looked at him for was his money. Men I know, they're wealthy, and that like he was an ATM and they just had a shopping list of the things they wanted. And when we do this to somebody and we use somebody, that's not a real relationship. But so many people come to God, and prayer is just about, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. George Carlin, the comedian, even did a whole thing about religion, and he talked about, he said, prayer works some of the time, you get what you want, some of the time you don't get what you want. It's kind of a crapshoot. He was kind of making a joke about prayer. But the perception of prayer that fuels that joke is the idea that, okay, I want this, 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 this. But it's about communion with God. It's about the relationship with God. Number six is prayer for the lost, prayer for people that are spiritually lost to come to know the Lord. And this is one we can always see answered. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, if we ask anything according to the will of God, he hears us. So it's his will that none perish. And so a lot of times in our meetings of our ministry, Eternal Grace, we'll call out the names of those who are lost or are needing to connect with God. And we call their names out to God, and we see powerful answers where they start being drawn and they start wanting to know the Lord. This is a very, very powerful thing. Prayer for the lost. Pray, draw them, God. Heal them. Draw them. Let them come to know your love. It's a prayer that's going to be answered. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The seventh type of prayer is meditation. Just being quiet and listening to God. You know, Western Christians tend to be down on meditation and tend to be very lacking in meditation. They like to blab about their shopping list, but they spend very little time, unfortunately, just being quiet. And a lot of Christians even put down meditation. Oh, that's hippies doing that. That's the New Age people doing that. And it's a challenge in our culture where everyone's distracted and feels they always have to be doing something on the phone or online. But meditation is very important, to take time to listen. I knew an Asian pastor, and he came over here, and he was visiting, and a bunch of us were hanging out down at Robert Scholler's place, down Crystal Cathedral. I was with Robert Scholler and with this Pastor Cho, and he was talking. Some of the pastors asked, is it true you spend hours and hours of prayer? And the pastor from Korea said, yes. And they said, don't you run out of things to say? And the pastor saying, here's my list of all the people and all the needs, and I can get through that pretty quick. And the pastor from Korea started laughing. He said, you foolish Americans, you think prayer is all about talking, 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 and all your requests. He said, I spend most of the time listening to the Lord. And meditation is that quiet time, and it's a time where you hear what he's saying to you. And it's also a time to correct some of your stinking thinking and irrational thinking about yourself and others in the world. And it helps you hear what he's saying to you. Many times I've had to take things to God in prayer, things, certain thoughts or certain issues that were troubling me. And when I heard what the Lord had to say to me about it, you know, One time I was depressed because a film I made didn't win a certain award. It was up for the award and didn't win in the Academy Award competition. And I felt this depressed feeling, and the Holy Spirit took me back to when I was a little boy, and I would perform and compete in different things, and when someone put me down that I didn't win the top award and said, you're worthless if you don't win number one, and I'd won number two, and it was like a stronghold thought. But when I was meditating, the Lord says, you know, I love you, you're my child. Whether you do anything or not, you have worth and value, and yeah, you know, you keep growing, and don't listen to those lies. Don't listen to those strongholds. And it's important to take time and hear him reaffirm to us who we are. See, strongholds are lies about who God is and who we are. And they bring about shame, and they bring about condemnation. Meditation also brings a lot of creativity. You know, when the fishermen couldn't catch fish, and the disciples and Jesus said, launch out into the deep, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. The deep in the Bible is, of course, literally the water they were fishing in, but also the deep in the Bible is our spirit, our subconscious. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, deep calleth unto deep, in Psalm 42:7. It's like our spirit calling unto God's spirit. And when you meditate, the Spirit of God will give you ideas. Those of you in business or in the arts, you'll get creative ideas that will come into your spirit at those moments that are million-dollar ideas. I've had this happen in marketing my films, where an idea will come out of the blue and I'll act on it, and my film will get out there on no money. And I've had people call me and say, who's your publicist? You know, how did you get this film out there? But it was literally times of meditation, launch out into the deep times, where God gave me an idea how to exactly do it. Meditation is so important. It renews the mind. It helps you take thoughts captive. Because how you feel is a lot of times coming out of how you think. You know, I got a prayer request from someone that was upset that they were single and they hadn't found their mate, and I'll never find anyone, and this is miserable, and blah, 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 blah. And I told them to take time and meditate and journal and ask the God to speak to them. And they said they did that, and a peace came over them where the God spoke to them and said, my timing, not yours. And I'm healing you to be the right person, and then you'll find the right person, and you'll find love. But he began to speak to them in that quiet time and renew their mind. That, yes, you prefer you found someone already, but trust me, I have a good plan for you. And it's important to take that time. You get so much more done if you take time for meditation. What do you meditate on? Well, some Christians say meditate on the Bible, and that's true. Meditate, you know, it says in Psalms about meditating on the law of the Lord. But, you know, the Bible wasn't actually even compiled until about 400 years after the early disciples, you know, about 400 AD, all the books were put together into the canon. So I think it's more than that. I think it's time of just listening. Some of the early Christians and early monks would meditate just on the name of Jesus or on what they call the sinner's prayer. They would just meditate over and over, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Sometimes they would meditate on the word Maranatha, which is like an Aramaic word. In the scripture at the end of Revelation, it says Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus, or come, Holy Spirit. They would breathe in and think Ma, and breathe out and think Ra, and breathe in and think Na, breathe out on the Tha, Maranatha, and they just meditate on that, just relax their spirit, inviting the Spirit to come, and then they get quiet, listen to the Lord and what he's speaking to them. Healing prayer is the eighth type of prayer I'd like to talk about real quick. Healing prayer. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We see Jesus in John 5 went to a place with a lot of sick people, the pool of Bethesda, and he was guided to one man, and he said, do you want to get well? That's a pretty powerful question. Some people don't want to get well, or they want to stay in their dependency of whatever's going on. But he healed that one man, and then in John 5:19, he said, I did it because I did what I saw the Father doing. I spoke what I heard the Father speaking. And so in healing prayer, it's important to listen to the Spirit. I have a process when I pray for a sick person where first I interview them and ask, like, Jesus, what do you want? What's the issue? If I've had a word of knowledge and feel guided by the Spirit to pray for a certain issue, I might skip that and go right to the prayer. Then second step is like a diagnosis, deciding what type of prayer to pray. What's the root issue? And that leads into the third step of like a prayer selection. Am I going to pray a prayer of faith? Am I going to rebuke a fever and command something? Or am I going to invite Jesus Christ to come and really touch this person? Fourth step is kind of watch for the Holy Spirit. What is God doing? John 5:19 says, what is the Father doing and saying? And then fifth is a post-prayer counsel, something to leave with the person. Sometimes it's some suggestion, or like Christ said, go and sin no more, after he prayed for the woman that had been brought before him. Healing prayer is very, very important because it's part of sharing the gospel. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, drive out devils. It's part of the mission, the purpose of the church, healing prayer. Nine is living prayer, making our life a prayer. The late Keith Green and his wife Melody wrote the song, Make My Life a Prayer to You. Make my life a prayer to you. And that's very important because some people try to limit prayer to religious words. My wife and I met in a very legalistic Bible school where some of the preachers would tell us we had to wake up, you know, at 5 a.m. and go in the prayer chapel and pray, and you had to pray a certain way from certain Bible verses. And I remember falling asleep in the prayer chapel because I'm a musician. I'm used to staying up late. And I missed the first couple classes, and they're like, where's Richard? And then they go to the prayer chapel prayer closet, and they hear me snoring away. And then some of these preachers would say, most of you here are only praying 5 minutes a day. And they would, you know, chastise and shame people that they weren't saying enough prayers long enough or in a certain way. And they miss the aspect that our life is a prayer, a living prayer, a living amends by us being kind, by us being loving, by, you know, God is the creator of the universe, and he says, come boldly to my throne. And we can offer our lives before the throne and lay our lives before him, and it's a form of prayer. Tenth form of prayer, and a lot of my artist friends in Hollywood, this is very important as well as anywhere in the world, is art and creativity. Art is a prayer. Creativity is a form of prayer and meditation. It really, truly is. God is the master artist, the creator. And when we create, that's showing the image of God. We were in a family counseling session with our counselor, my wife and two children. And my daughter said, I sense there's some things that my daddy doesn't talk about, or he needs healing for certain emotions or certain things in his past. And the counselor, Jennifer Maldonado, she said, you know, your father, through his creativity, the way he plays the guitar with feeling or writes music or writes fiction or makes movies, is how he releases some of that. And when you create a work of art, it could be a song, it could be a book, it could be a painting. When we create something, it can become a meditation. People, as they're cooking a meal, or as they're painting, or as they're playing an instrument, as they're doing something creative, this is like a form of prayer, a form of meditation. And it feeds their soul, and it feeds the soul of others. Creativity. That's the 10th of my 12 types of prayer. 11 is what I call the sacrifice of prayer and praise. Hebrews talks about offer up the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of prayer. Because sometimes emotionally we don't feel like our faith is all that strong. A friend of mine, I mentioned Josie Pollock, is a chaplain at L.A. County Jail. On the way to speak at our ministry we started in Hollywood, Eternal Grace, she had her purse stolen with everything in it, her money, her cards, and she showed up here to speak right after being robbed. And the verse that she was speaking on was, count on all joy when you go through trials, and she's like, oh, I'm really being tested in this message. And we prayed that her purse would be restored to her, and her money and her credit cards and everything. And when she got home, the purse that was stolen was on her car. She had reported it to the police already. And there was a note that the man went through the purse and saw her chaplain card, that she was a chaplain ministering to all these people in the jails. And the man wrote a note who took the purse and said, I'm an addict. I have had a calling on my life, but I've been running from God. But when I went to take your purse and went through it, I saw your chaplain card, that you're a woman of God, and I asked you to pray for me. I took the water in your purse and drank the water, and I took some of the food and ate it. But all the money and cards and everything is still here. But I'm an addict, and I need deliverance, so would you pray for me? And she prayed for the person that took her purse before she got home, but she said, this is the most sarcastic prayer because I'm so mad at this person. I don't feel very loving. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray for them. And I've had that experience myself. I prayed for healing for a woman with a hearing issue, but I had a bad attitude towards the woman because she had been married to a friend of mine, and they'd split up, and my friend had told me about, you know, how he was mistreated and abused by this woman and different things like that. So I found myself judging the woman and taking on my friend's grievances towards her, and I didn't really want to pray for her, but at a church service where I was speaking, she was there and asked me to pray for healing. And I put my fingers in her ears and spoke to her hearing loss, and Jesus healed her. And I was not in a super spiritual place, so it shows you that prayer is the grace and mercy of God. It's not necessarily that we're feeling so great or our faith is so high, because sometimes it's a sacrifice of prayer, even though we might be feeling sarcastic or faithless. Timothy says he remains faithful to us. God is faithful to us even when we are faithless, for he cannot deny his own children. My last and 12th form of prayer I want to mention is prayer from nature. Romans 1 says nature inspires prayer, that they bear a witness to the glory and handiwork of God. And when we get out in nature, we can feel his presence. I was just working on a film project with a dear, dear friend of mine who says he's not sure he believes in God, but when he gets in nature, sometimes he says, thank you. He just feels overwhelmed by the beauty of the master artist. And so you don't have to get into a cathedral to pray. You can pray anywhere. You can go outside in nature and pray. You don't have to even talk out loud to pray. It can be a whisper. It can be a thought. The prayer of faith, number one. The prayer without ceasing, two. Three, prayer and suffering. Four, intercessory prayer. Five, communion with God. Six, prayer for the lost. Seven, meditation. Eight, healing prayer. Nine, a living prayer. Make my life a prayer to you. 10, art and creativity as a prayer. 11, the sacrifice of a prayer, even when our feelings or faith is low. And 12 is the prayer of nature. Prayer is very powerful. You know, before we used electricity, the force of electricity was always there. We needed the scientists to discover it and to learn how to harness it and use the wiring to get lights in our homes. And you don't see exactly how prayer works. But when you get a lot of people praying, it's very powerful. More prayer, more power. And prayer changes things. So I pray for all of you listening that you would be blessed today, that you would be drawn closer and closer to know God's will and voice, and you'd feel his presence and guidance in everything you do. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Thank you for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live today, and feel free to share our message, Teach Us to Pray, with your friends and family. This link will be good in perpetuity. God bless you. Go with God and be blessed.
Listen here, Pilgrim, and listen good. Why don't you mosey on over and set that down to Rich Rossi Live? When it comes to Christian talk, he'll wrestle you up a show with true grit.